What's up, America?
Hit it. Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you're Rob.
Rock and roll, let's rock and roll. We talking sports.
I don't care.
We got NFL. We got the NBA season kickoff.
I love it.
College football coming at you tonight. We got a little piece of the World Series for you.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
The time is now. As Rob said, the time is now. I love it, Rob. He's kicking it off. I love how he set it off. We got NBA. We got Major League Baseball. We got college football. We got pro stuff. Man, you are official talking sports for 12 Man. We do got it all for you, as mentioned. You are official talking sports for the 12th Man. Today is back, Rob, on our regular night of Tuesday, October the 28th. And once again, if I say it again, I'll say it one more time. You're officially talking sports with the 12th Man. I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by my fellow host, Mr. Robert Ford. And as always, got to check in with Rob. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Couldn't be more excited about our show tonight. How about you?
Same thing, sir. Man, we got a lot of topics to cover, man. So without further ado, we're going to get into it. But as always, we want to throw out some numbers for those that want to call in to the show. Give us your thoughts, your feedback, all that fun stuff. If you want to call into the show, the number to call, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. And as always, we are available via social media. If you want to follow us via Twitter, that number is the number 12THMAN Sports, obviously at Twitter.com. And then finally, without further ado, we are also on Facebook. If you go to Facebook.com/12thManSports, or if you put in Talking Sports 12th Man, yours truly, nice picture of me will show up, maybe one of Rob as well. And that's how we do it. So, Rob, a lot of fun to get into. So are you ready to get this party started?
Let's get it going, Doc. We got a lot to cover.
Man, let's see if we can fit it all in. So we're going to definitely go into the OT course as well. But we're going to try. But anyway, Rob, let's kick it off, man. Kind of we always like to do this. We like to recap each week of the NFL, and we're going to do a week 8 recap, Rob. Obviously, culminating with the pretty much unbelievable, I didn't pick this, of the Redskins beating the Cowboys, man. But anyway, let's recap this, Rob, and I guess there's anything you kind of want to highlight or anything you want to talk about in this particular instance, sir?
Well, when you look back at week 8, I think, you know, you mentioned the Redskins last night pulling up the upset on the road. Hats off to Colt McCoy. I'll tell you, he hadn't played in a National Football League game in probably about 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought he played extremely well. Played very solid, threw the ball very accurately, had some nice runs as well. And I thought old Jim Haslett called a great game defensively for the Redskins, too. I thought they played extremely well as well. I think overall solid performance by the Redskins. And they have now won 2 in a row and possibly going to be getting RG3 back here in a couple of weeks is what it's looking like. So, that's obviously one highlight, as you mentioned. From this past weekend, you can go back to the Thursday night game. Thought the Broncos had a solid victory in a key divisional game over the Chargers. That was pretty big. You're starting to see Tom Brady and the Patriots come back to life as well. They had a big win over the Bears, putting up 51. And how about the Steelers? After the Colts practically shut out the Bengals the week before, 27-0, the Steelers put 51 on the board on the Colts. That was a big win, and now you're looking at a very competitive NFC North with the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Steelers. They're in a logjam there at the top, so that's going to be an interesting race down the stretch here. And also, I got a hats off to Arizona. Now they stand alone in the NFC, the best record in the conference, best record in the NFC West at 6-1. They're getting it done defensively, even without the services of Darnell Dockett. And that was one of our concerns that we had for them prior to the season. But they're playing very good ball control offense. They're not turning over the ball. They're playing outstanding defense.
Man, that just, you know, like you said, it always seems like Rob, for some reason, that each week, you know, we didn't have a – I know I didn't participate in a suicide poll, but I'd be scared to death, man, because there's – you just never know. It's hard to pick what squads are going to play well. You know, if you would have told me that the Redskins would have won at the Cowboys with Colt McCoy, I would have told you no way. But, you know, that's something I want to highlight too. I love how you talk about the Cardinals playing extremely well. You know, obviously that was a great game versus the Philadelphia Eagles, kind of showing their you know, supremacy. I know we'll kind of target some teams that we think are doing very well, Rob. But, yeah, you know, obviously we'll continue that, the downward slide. And the Falcons, you're going to mention that too. Our division is not that strong for some reason. And, you know, obviously we can talk about that as well too. But, you know, it's just been a very interesting season, like we always like to say. And any given Sunday, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. In the NFL, you have to come to play every week, and that's just the bottom line. Every team has professionals. Every team has good players. So you can't take any nights off. There's no New Mexico states on the schedule. So you have to bring it. And with all due respect to New Mexico State, that is. There's no cupcakes on the schedule. How about I say that?
Yeah, no cupcakes. Yeah, that's okay.
New Mexico State fans start calling into the show hating on us. But there's no cupcakes on the schedule. You have to come to play every weekend. You know, speaking of the NFC South, you know, that was one of our topics tonight. What is wrong with the NFC South? Very surprisingly, this is a division, my perspective of the division going into the season. Of course, I thought the Saints, and, you know, they could still turn it around and make a run at this thing. They had a big win on Sunday night. That's the Saints team that we thought that we would see this season. For most of the year. I thought the Saints, the Falcons, and the Buccaneers will all be better this year, all three of them. And I thought the Panthers would take a slight step backwards. That was my view of the division going forward. You know, right now we got a Thursday night game. The Panthers and the Saints playing for first place, and both of them are 3-4 playing for first place in the division.
Unbelievable. I mean, how do we explain? Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable, too, like you said. You know, I'm sure, I know as a Falcons fan, we didn't expect this to come down to that. We pretty much thought it was going to be a tight race between the Saints and the Falcons. But, you know, the teams get better. Schedules don't play out. You have injuries, and I'm not blaming that, all of that. But it's just you never know how things are going to play out for sure, too. So, anyway, we'll talk about that. And somebody posed a pretty good question, Rob. I want you to table this too a little later on, too, before we get to, like, the meat of the show, too. And this was a great question. I know it's talking about backup quarterbacks. And somebody had a question for us about the NFL backups who later became successful as starters, saying that this is a question for us. Like, I think it's a very rare event in which we see the Matt Flynn's, the Matt Castles, and Josh McCown's of the NFL who looked great in the NFL, but once they're thrust into the starting spotlight, they didn't turn out that well. And so I guess for the people that we felt were more established, like, you know, the Steve Youngs don't count, and the Kurt Warners and the Aaron Rodgers don't count because they were, like, shadowed by their starters. So, you know, are there any backups who are successful as a starter? I guess the ones you were thinking of was Jeff Hostetler, Steve Berline, and maybe Frank Wright. But other than that, you know, and this is maybe going in line where you see, like, a Colt McCoy that kind of did this thing. You know, Kirk Cousins was thought to be the man, and that kind of failed miserably too. There's a couple of quarterbacks that we thought that were going to be good as backups, but it's pretty hard to be successful as a backup, I would imagine.
Yeah, now there are some quarterbacks that were long-time backups that who wound up ending their careers pretty successfully. One that comes to mind is Rich Gannon, who for most of his career was a backup quarterback, but toward the end of his career, became a solid starting quarterback with the Raiders and John Gruden. They went to the Super Bowl, even though they lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So you look at a guy like that who was a longtime backup quarterback but eventually became a starter. He's a guy that that comes to mind from that perspective.
What about Jake Delhomme? Jake Delhomme.
Well, Jake Delhomme is another one. Led the Panthers to the Super Bowl as well. He was a backup quarterback for the Saints for many years, behind Aaron Brooks, and maybe he turned out to be better than Aaron Brooks once he went to Carolina. So, yeah, he's another guy that That definitely, that's a very good one that I didn't think of. Yeah, Jake DeLome definitely is one that comes to mind. You can look at guys like Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer, who were backups as well, that weren't outstanding quarterbacks, but they were, you know, get the job done, don't turn the ball over.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. We'll talk about more that week. That's just a great question. I just posed that. So that was something I thought was pretty cool. Rob, which NFL team do you think has the best looking uniforms?
Well, you know, it's always easy to be biased with your own team. You know, I love the Saints, especially when the Saints wear our black jerseys with the gold pants. I think that's a phenomenal combination. But I'm going to, you know, go with a team. I got to pick somebody other than the Saints. So I'm going to go with the 49ers. I know we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area and one of our hot spots there. And I'm going to show the 49ers a little love. I like the combination of the red jerseys and the gold pants, too. I think that's a very nice combination there, too, as well. You know, of course, the gold goes with the mining from the 49ers, from the San Francisco area, the gold mining. And so I like that combination as well. I definitely like that combination better. I know a few years ago they went to the red jerseys and the white pants. But I like when they wear the red jerseys and the gold pants. I think, you know, that's one of the better uniforms in the league.
I was pretty nervous, Rob. I thought you were going to talk about the Cleveland Browns as one of your favorite-looking jerseys.
I think that's the ugliest jersey in the league.
and then it's possibly close second for the Steelers jerseys that they wore yesterday, or excuse me, on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Those Bumblebee jerseys are horrible.
I don't know what those were. I mean, no offense out there, but you're just like, wow. keep those jerseys, too. But, you know, I'm a fan of, you know, this is kind of me going back. I was a fan of the Dolphins, man. I kind of like the Dolphin colors. I just like the colors. They're kind of a nice little, the teal colors with the white pants and even the orange. I used to like those jerseys as well. I was a fan of that. You know, obviously you're going to, you know, pull for your team too, you know, for the Falcons too, but I definitely was a fan of those colors too, man. So, and I actually like the way that the Redskins represented too with the, I know they had kind of kind of the maroon with the kind of the gold trim on the numbers. Those are kind of sharp too. So you know,
hey, I like Redskins too. Everyone, I would put them in top five. Well, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are good looking jerseys. So that's a little segue too. So anyway, we just thought we'd throw that out there too. Rob, there's some news on the horizon too about a move or a possible team going to L.A. And I think the word on the street is that maybe it's like a St. Louis, if you will. I mean, I don't know if you're hearing a little bit more about this as far as a team that should move, but I don't know what you're hearing about, you know, what's going to happen. I'm sure L.A. is definitely trying to finagle to get a franchise as well, sir.
Well, I think it's going to happen within the next 3 to 5 years. You're going to have at least one team in Los Angeles, and I don't think it's going to be an expansion team. It's going to be a current franchise moving to Los Angeles. And I think there's three possibilities here. You mentioned the Rams. They're definitely one of them. I think the other two are going to be the San Diego Chargers or the Oakland Raiders. I think those are the three teams. And don't be surprised if two of these three teams move to Los Angeles and we're back to having two teams in Los Angeles again like we once had with the Rams and the Raiders. And so don't be surprised at that as well. I think the Chargers and the Raiders make more sense because they're already in California. And I think Los Angeles, you know, is divided between the Chargers and the Raiders. And, you know, that's where most of their fans are currently. And what's going to happen here is if the Chargers and the Raiders move to Los Angeles, which is also a possibility, both of those teams play in the same division, the Raiders would move to the NFC. And Seattle would move back to the AFC if that was to happen. Obviously, you know, this is probably a 15% to 20% chance of happening. But if both of those teams move to Los Angeles, then the Raiders would move to the NFC, and you will see Seattle move back to the AFC. As in having two teams in Los Angeles in the same division, they will want to separate those two teams into different conferences, kind of like the Jets and the Giants. One is in the AFC, one is in the NFC. They will want the same thing if in the event you get two teams in Los Angeles. But it's definitely going to happen. It's the second largest media market in the country. And obviously there's so much to do in Los Angeles, but the NFL still wants a piece of that pie, even though it doesn't seem like they're missing the NFL a whole lot in that market.
Yeah, good calls, Rob. I mean, I think it's kind of like, I'm not quite sure how to, you know, emotionally how to handle that. I mean, obviously if you're a St. Louis Rams fan, you don't want that to happen, but, you know, I can see it kind of happening with St. Oakland and maybe San Diego, hopefully more Oakland than San Diego too. But, you know, like you talk about, it's the number one market. You know, it's definitely primed. I don't think we're going to have an expansion team, but we're probably going to have a moving team, because if you have expansion, you got to realign divisions. That's not in the cards right now too. So, you know, definitely agree with you. That's going to probably be a team that's currently a current team that's going to make a quick move to LA, if you will.
Absolutely. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch, but it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, we're about kind of halfway to the point of the show. We always want to throw out the numbers once again. We're doing good. 424-243-9519 is that number. And, Rob, I want to keep it moving because I want to get to all the topics we have to get to. Any players that you think are kind of very surprising in the NFL this season?
Well, I mean, there's five guys I'm going to highlight here. Number one, I'm going to start off with Rob Gronkowski. Obviously, he's already one of the better tight ends in the game, but this is a guy that missed all of preseason. He's coming off an injury, and didn't quite expect him to come out this explosive, this soon. And, I mean, tell you, if you watch that game against the Bears, he had a phenomenal game this past week, and he's got to be in contention for one of the comeback players of the year in the NFL. He's playing like a beast. And even prior to the last night, you have to throw in Tony Romo. He's been very effective.
No.
And obviously having that great running game and great offensive line is helping him. And so you have to mention him as being somewhat of a surprise this year as well. And I tell you, one of the cornerbacks of Dallas who's really playing like an elite corner is Orlando Scandrick. He's playing the pass. He's playing the run. He's doing a phenomenal job this year as well on a Dallas defense that we didn't expect to be good going into the season. They're playing better than I think most prognosticators expected. And a very underrated guy, Brandon LaFell, a wide receiver for the Patriots. I mean, he's stepping up to be that number one wide receiver for that team. You know, very good speed. He's got the size and height. He's having a tremendous year as well. Very underrated guy as well. Last but not least, I think a guy that's playing like a potential MVP candidate this year is Phillip Rivers. I think he's having his best year as a pro this year, and the Chargers are right there in contention this season because of him as well.
Good calls, man. That's good stuff, Rob. You know, I can concur as far as a couple things, all except for Tony Romo, man. I'm just saying, man. That's just another conversation there. No offense, but I think because they definitely made it easier for him to kind of have a solid, more or less a solid running game and keep that defense more opportunistic to create some turnovers too. So, you know, the offensive line is going to tire some teams out, man. So I think it's pretty ironic that the Redskins kind of cowboyed the Cowboys and basically they kept the defense on the field and kind of tired them out, just kept it close enough. Tony Romo had some mistakes, and they just kind of blitzed the crap out of him too. So what an interesting game from last night. Let's kind of recap. Any news about Tony Romo's injury, Rob, from what you're hearing out there?
Well, he was due to have an MRI today. No news as of yet. And so my assumption is no news is probably good news if you're the Dallas Cowboys. And although I will be honest, I think this team can still be competitive if Brandon Wheaton had to step in. I think they can still be a competitive team. And the reason why I say that, DeMarco Murray and that offensive line, I think that, you know, can make almost any quarterback look pretty good right now. So I still think this Dallas team can still be competitive. Will they win a Super Bowl? No. But I think they can still be competitive without Tony Romo in the event this injury is pretty serious. But my assumption here, no news is probably good news if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, man, I got to, you know, talk about that too, because Brandon Wheaton played pretty well, Rob, so I don't really know why, you know, Tony Romo, I think he probably maybe felt a little threatened there, but Brandon Wheaton was playing pretty well too. So, you know, obviously the backup quarterback gets a lot of the love, but, you know, just something to talk about, too, in that particular instance, too. So, anyway, I just want to put that out there in that particular instance.
Yeah. You know, hindsight is 20/20. I think Tony Romo has earned the right to go back in that game, but
yeah.
I think they would have been better off with Whedon as far as winning that game. But, you know, Romo has at least earned the opportunity to go back in if he was healthy.
Got it. In 1994, Eric Dickerson set the NFL season rushing record with 2,105 yards. As of yesterday, Rob, DeMarco Murray has already eclipsed 1,000 yards. We still got, what, 8 more games left in the season, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
Do you think that DeMarco Murray can actually break Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record, sir?
I think if he's healthy, it's absolutely yes. I mean, when you look at this offensive line, DeMarco Murray, sometimes, man, it takes he's running down the field 7-8 yards before somebody's even putting a hand on him. It's unbelievable. The type of blocking that he's getting. Obviously, he's doing a tremendous job with his vision and catching the right holes. I'm going to say it's going to be very close, but I think he absolutely has a shot at catching this Eric Dickerson record if he's going to be running behind that offensive line.
It's going to be interesting, Rob. We're going to see how it happens.
Tyron Smith might be the best left tackle in the game as well. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So we'll keep it going, man. What? You know, like you said, I feel like we've done a lot of Cowboy love this week, this show too. But anyway, that's what it's all about. Good stuff as well.
I hate the Cowboys, just so y'all know.
I know, like you said, we try to keep everything objective. Sorry, Cowboy Bob, I know you're probably following us too, but we'll keep it moving for sure, as well as Lenar too. I've got a huge Cowboy fan out there as well. On a subject that's kind of close to home here, there's two coaches that are probably going to be on the hot seat. And if you're a Falcon fan, you're going to probably equivalently say, yes, he's on the hot seat. And I guess the question that you pose is, will the Falcons fire Mike Smith for the end of the season? I'd like to get a little objective view for this, Rob, too, because some people are saying you guys are only a game out of first place. You know, we're acting like fair weather fans. But I think we've kind of seen you know, from my perspective, I'm always going to say, you know, hey, Mike Smith, thank you for what you've done to help solidify the franchise, you know, get us those back-to-back winning seasons and whatnot. But it just seems like from now, Rob, that there's no improvement. You know, I don't know if that's a talent thing with the Mitroff. And we're kind of, as Falcon fans, like, hey, you know, it's been fun, but 6 years, it's kind of time to make a new move and kind of have a new vision too, so. On the outside looking in, would you kind of agree with us, you know, or are we kind of just being too emotional, or what are your thoughts about the arch rival Falcons here, Rob?
Well, obviously, Mike Smith has had some success with the Falcons, and as you mentioned, you have to give him credit for that. And obviously, the Falcons are 4-12 last year. And if they finish somewhere around 4-12 again this year, I think you can see the writings on the wall that he would definitely get fired. I don't agree with firing him in the middle of the season. I think you at least give him the opportunity to play it out and see what they can do to turn it around. Firing a coach in the middle of the season is not going to turn it around. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I can't see that ever helping any NFL team. If you go back over history, coach get fired in the middle of the season, that doesn't turn the team into a playoff team. Let him at least work it out and see what they can possibly do, and give him an opportunity to at least try to turn it around and see what happens.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's finish your thought.
Well, yeah, basically, I would at least give him the opportunity to finish out the season, and then you judge him based on his final record at the end of the season, not the middle of the season.
Yeah, we're probably not going to fire him. I think Arthur Blank's too clashed for that, but yeah, pretty much writing on the wall this instance too. Let's talk about, I do want to definitely get into our fantasy shout-outs and some NFL predictions here, 5 minutes left. Sexy Rexy, Rob, is he to blame for everything that's happening with the Jets right now?
Rex Ryan, well, you know, obviously this team is heading for a top 1, 2, or 3 pick in this draft. And I can see the writing on the wall. Is he going to be seeing his team drafting Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota here? Geno Smith doesn't seem to be the answer. It doesn't seem like he's – at this point, you should start seeing some signs of improvement, and we're just not seeing it out of him. So, obviously, they're going to have to draft a quarterback in the first round, and they'll have that opportunity early in the draft next year. But he's going with Michael
already,
this weekend, so it's going to be interesting.
Are you already giving up on Geno Smith this early, Rob?
Well, I mean, like I said, at this point, is you should start seeing some kind of improvement. And you're just not seeing it. And it seems like he's progressively getting worse. And so I think that's you have to go with it. If you're going to be in the top of the draft, you're going to have to draft a quarterback. You need a quarterback to be successful in this league.
Well, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, too. So, you know, we'll see if there's going to be a new regime that's going to make it easier to make that switch, too. To say, hey, Geno, it's been fun. You're backing up, and maybe he needs some more time to kind of get acclimated. Same thing that I can probably say about Kyle Orton and the E.J. Manuel. I mean, he's, you know, E.J. Manuel is definitely the future, but he just needs some time to kind of sit, maybe watch Kyle Orton, and then probably become the face of the franchise a little later on, Rob.
Yeah, and at least with E.J. Manuel, you had some success, some highlights. You can see that there is some talent there. And but with Geno Smith, I think with E.J. Manuel, they just need to sit him down for a little while and let him learn a little bit. But I think there's still some potential with E.J. Manuel. I just don't see it with Geno Smith, though.
Gotcha. I like it. Rob, I want to talk about some fantasy shout-outs real quick before we do some NFL predictions, only because hopefully we'll have enough time, because we've got about 3 minutes left. So can you do some fantasy shout-outs real quick, sir?
Yeah, absolutely here. Fantasy shout-outs. Obviously, we want to thank our competitors for competing in all three of our fantasy football leagues. I want to start off with our league number one here. Yours truly, NOLA Breakers, with a huge win, had the biggest win of the week, 262.76 over the Shark to his 132.50. Saints Pelicans 23 right here in New Orleans area is in first place in the league. Shout out to him. League number two, Bears Nation had the biggest win also right here in New Orleans area, 166.48 to L's astounding team 74.10. Saints Pelicans 23 also in first place in league number two as well. League number three, this is our money league here. Winning. He's out of the Connecticut area. He's got had the biggest win of the week, 156.12 over the Kings team, 88.06, and Irvin's team right there in the Atlanta area. He's holding down first place at 7-1 in the money league. So those are our fantasy shout outs. Obviously, with the NBA kicking off tonight, our fantasy basketball league just kicked off as well. So we will be including that in our fantasy shout outs starting on next week.
Gotcha. Thank you for that, too, Rob. Let's go ahead and set up for literally the OT portion. We got to talk a lot of college football, and we're going to do some NFL predictions as well, sir. So kick it off. We got a minute and 30-something seconds, Rob.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't give you the OT portion of our show live, and we still got a lot to cover. We still have some NFL predictions, college football predictions, got a little NBA predictions, and also a little World Series talk. We're going to have all that on the OT portion. You can click on the same link anytime tomorrow. You can hear this OT portion of this show. Still some great information that you're going to want to listen to. If you have some minute on your lunch break tomorrow or driving, click on this link and you can get that information. We'll be back on live on next Tuesday night, which will be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, it's going to be 5 p.m. And our friends in Germany, that's going to be 5 a.m. on next Wednesday morning. So join us on next week. Once again, please follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. Like us on Facebook, 12th Man Sports. And we have updates all week long. Good night, people.
Good night, people. Thanks, Rob. Man, you know, Rob, I always give the assist on that, too, with wrapping the show up pretty fast. But, yeah, as you mentioned, I try to listen to the show as I'm driving into work, too. So if you want to listen to it on your iPhone, on your Android, you can most certainly do that. That is what it's all about. But we are jumping into the OT portion. Good night, people.
Good night, world.
Good deal. I always wait for Rob to do that official goodnight to make sure that we are good to go, too. So without further ado, sir, let's kind of get into some NFL predictions. We're officially into the OT portion, and pretty big game here. I think it would have been a lot bigger if Dallas was able to pull off that win versus the Redskins, but you got Arizona at Dallas. This is definitely a statement game, Rob. I don't know if it matters who's quarterbacking. I want to imagine that the Cowboys are not going to be happy about last week, about Monday night. So is this kind of a game where they're going to set their eyes and just kind of like handle business against the Arizona Cardinals, Rob?
Yeah, I think Dallas bounced back this week and get the win over Arizona. I think it should be a good football game. I think it's going to be a close game, too. I'm thinking of like a four-point victory somewhere around the lines of 27-23. Somewhere along those lines, I think Dallas is in a close game.
San Diego at Miami. We talked about Phillip Rivers doing his thing. And you know, right now, Miami's been a pretty interesting place to play. But I do like San Diego in this matchup, sir.
Actually, I'm going to pick Miami at home in this one in a very close game. We're going to go 23-17 Miami winning this game. Miami's been playing great defense the last few weeks, and they've quietly climbing up the standings in the AFC East. And I like Miami at home, and this one's going to be a tough trip, San Diego traveling across the country.
Huge game. Denver at New England. Brady, once again, versus Manning. I mean, they have been meeting since, you know, the Colts days, Rob. But big win is at New England. I know that Denver has taken steps to solidify that defense, and they're probably, in my opinion, the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, because right now they look the best, but, you know, hopefully they're not peaking too fast. But, wow, who wins in this particular matchup with Denver at New England?
I like Denver at home in this game. I think Denver quietly is kept. I know we, you know, give all the praise to Peyton Manning and their offense, but their defense is much improved this year. They're getting good pass rush. The corners are playing well. Aqib Talib is playing outstanding this year. I like Denver by 10 points in this game.
Wow. Okay. Good stuff. They definitely have the defense.
I think it's going to be like a 38-28 kind of win.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to say the least. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been playing extremely well. Baltimore had a little tough game, but what do you think about this particular matchup, sir?
I think we're looking at a close, smash-mouth, old-school kind of football, you know, in this football game. Pittsburgh is playing better. I like a 26-23 Pittsburgh win at home.
Wow, Rob is giving it. I love it, giving the scores and calling it. So that's what it's all about. So that's the NFL, our predictions for the upcoming week. I bless you for not picking the Falcons for that, Rob. But let's talk about it, Rob. The NBA is officially opening up, Rob. Opening night is tonight. What are your thoughts about how we are going to progress for this upcoming NBA season?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be really interesting. You know, Spurs got a one-point win over the Mavericks tonight. And there are a lot of teams that like the Mavericks to be a strong contender in the Western Conference. I still like the Spurs here to repeat. You know, a lot of people think it's going to be hard, but they got the entire team back. And I still don't see any signs of them slowing down. I just wonder who's going to be that team that can challenge them. You know, you have Dallas, you have Golden State, you have the Clippers. You have to wonder how OKC is going to recover. Kevin Durant may be missing the first 2 months of the season. So there might be a little much for them to overcome this season. But I just see the Spurs still winning the Western Conference. And I know in the Eastern Conference you're going to have a dogfight between Cleveland and Chicago, I believe, in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just feel a little safer going with Cleveland. I think if Derrick Rose is healthy, they can really challenge Cleveland. I really do. But I'm just going to – I feel a little safer picking Cleveland. But I still like the Spurs to repeat.
I like it. Good job. And there's been a lot of shifts, a lot of movements, definitely for the Eastern Conference. I think the West is pretty much settled, Rob, but obviously – with Durant going to be out. We'll talk about that in a quick second, too. But, it's going to be interesting. I think you sort of went to some NBA predictions, if I heard you correctly. Is there anyone that can challenge the Cavaliers? Is that the Spurs once again, Rob, that are going to challenge the Cavaliers or just, I don't know if you're talking about just division-wise or kind of like what your thoughts are. But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, I think the Bulls are going to be right there in the Eastern Conference. I think that's the one team that can challenge the Cavaliers in the East. Obviously, I think the Spurs will win the West and eventually beat the Cavs. But I think the only team, in my opinion, that can challenge the Cavs will be the Bulls in the Eastern Conference, that is. And that's contingent on a healthy Derrick Rose.
Gotcha. I like it. I like it. I like it. So I don't want to spend – I know we're excited, Rob. NBA's here. We're going to table that, and hopefully we'll talk more NBA next week too. But let's kind of keep it going here with college football. The first playoff ranking, what are your thoughts about this, Rob? This is going down, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, I think, you know, obviously there's still a lot of football to be played, and these rankings are going to change tremendously, especially with these SEC West teams going head-to-head here in the coming weeks. So these teams are going to have some more losses. And but obviously, if the season ended today, I had no problem with the four teams they picked, even though three of them are SEC. Not only just SEC teams, they're SEC West teams, all three of them from the same division. It's unbelievable. So, obviously, if the season ended today, you would have Mississippi State at the one seed, playing Ole Miss, the four seed, in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl. And you would have Florida State, the two seed, playing Auburn, the three seed. They would play in the Rose Bowl for the other semifinal matchup. And the two winners would play in Dallas for the national championship. Just going to have a little fun based on this playoff seeding. I would go Mississippi State and Auburn in the championship game, with Mississippi State beating Auburn the second time. But obviously a lot of this is going to change. Ole Miss and Auburn playing this Saturday. So one of those teams is going to have a loss and is going to drop out of this top four. So I personally think Florida State's a little overrated, but I think they will, just because of their schedule, they'll be in it because they should beat everybody in their schedule and stay undefeated.
Wow, okay. But I love out there. We thought he was going to show some love to Jimbo Fisher, but we'll keep it moving here. I do want to talk about some college football predictions, Rob. I noticed you didn't really put, and it may be like it's unranked, but you didn't put Georgia versus Florida in this particular, if I don't say that correctly, too. And I guess I'm going to ask this quick question because I definitely have enough time for you to answer it. Front of the street is that Will Muschamp is going to be gone. He'll be gone for Florida. Do you think that's a pretty safe assessment to say right now, Rob, as far as Will Muschamp kind of seeing his last go here for the University of Florida?
Absolutely. If they continue at the rate that they're playing right now, absolutely. The last time out, Missouri destroyed them.
Missouri,
on Florida's home field. And Missouri is a solid team. They're not a great team this year, not as good as they were last year. But this team went into Florida, went into the Swamp, and just whipped them in all three phases of the game. And you're talking about Florida, you know, they have talent in their backyard. Missouri don't have that kind of talent in their backyard. They have to recruit nationally and develop players. So Florida's got five-star recruits at their disposal, and there's really no excuse for that program to be performing at this level. And unless they just have a miraculous turnaround and win the last six, seven games, I think that's the only way he keeps his job.
This is an interesting question, Rob. I got a Florida fan. What have you heard any news about Dan Mullen, or is he still an option, or is he kind of, you know, Starkville going to keep him there? I don't know if you've heard any news about that particular move, if you will.
Well, I think it depends on what kind of season Mississippi State ends in. Mississippi State's playing for the national title, or they win the national title. I don't see Dan Mullen leaving that. Now, they just start folding here toward the end of the year and have two, three losses. I could definitely see him leaving to go to Florida and definitely be a candidate for the Florida Gators coaching job, no doubt about it.
6 minutes. Let's kick off some fun here. I do want to do a quick shout-out. World Series update. Looks like we're going to have the game's going to keep going because Kansas City just took it to the Giants, too, so we're going to keep it moving, too. Let's get into some college football here real quick. Let's talk number 1, number 10, TCU at number 20, West Virginia, Rob. You can call it.
I tell you, this has been a tough game for me to pick. I've been thoroughly impressed with TCU. Boykin is a very good quarterback for TCU. But I tell you, it's tough for those Big 12 teams to go to West Virginia and get a win. Obviously, most of the Big 12 schools are in Texas and the Oklahoma area. And when they have to travel to West Virginia, it's very tough. And this is a very good West Virginia team. Kevin White might be one of the best wide receivers in the country. And he definitely looks like a first-round pick in next year's draft. I'm going to see West Virginia gets this win at home in the shootout. I'm thinking something like 45-42.
And I think TCU finally stopped scoring. Didn't they score like 82 points or something crazy like that, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, the funny thing is TCU's basketball team only scored over 80 points once last year.
That's insane. That's insane. All right, 5 minutes here. Number four, Auburn. At number seven, Ole Miss. Sunshine, a.k.a. Bo Wallace, questionable call at the end of that game versus LSU. Good game, LSU. But there's a couple of questionable things that I would say. But what do you think about this matchup, Rob, going into Auburn? They're going to run into a Lions game with Ole Miss.
Well, you know, if we just talked about that one of these two teams are going to fall out of the rankings, I'm going to go with Ole Miss just because they're at home. And, you know, LSU just played just straight-up smash-mouth football. They were just so much bigger than Auburn, and they were just able to manhandle the line of scrimmage. I'm going to say they were able to compete with Auburn a little bit. Both of these teams like a lot of deception in their offense. And I'm going to go with Ole Miss just because they're at home, but I think the teams are fairly equal.
Number 14, Arizona. At number 25, UCLA. Go ahead and make that call, Rob.
This was another tough pick of mine. I'm going to pick Arizona on the road here to go to UCLA. UCLA has been a Jekyll and Hyde team this year, and I think Arizona's playing better football. I see them going on the road and getting this win.
Gotcha. Let's talk about Alaska, but we have highlighted number 18, Utah, and number 15, Arizona State.
Utah is another team that's playing extremely well. It's not getting a lot of notoriety around the country. This one's been a hard pick as well. I'm going to go with Utah on the road as well in a close one.
Gotcha. In a close one, yeah. Some of these games are going to be close. Some of these games are going to be interesting to see how they continue to pull some teams out. But I love it. We've already did a quick World Series update. I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about, Rob. We got, I think, all of our topics in. Man, I was rushing a little bit too, but is there anything else you want to say before we get ready and wrap up this particular edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man, Rob?
Obviously, we just would like to thank our listeners for tuning in and continuing to support us. And please follow us on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports, constantly having updates on what's going on in the sports world. Also, like us on Facebook. Talking Sports with the 12th Man. And of course, you know, I believe we'll be back on our regular schedule next week as well on Tuesday night. So make sure you follow our Twitter posts and Facebook posts to stay abreast of our air times. But, you know, we'll have a lot to talk about on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, as we right in the heart of the NFL season now, right in the heart of college football season, right at the kickoff and the start of the NBA season, and the tail end of Major League Baseball. So we still have a lot to talk about, so you definitely want to tune in on next week.
Gotcha. As always, Robbie, I appreciate you. Good job as the co-host as well. You know, it's always a fun time, and like you said, Rob, we're going to get everything back to kind of normal there. We're looking forward to start of fantasy basketball. We'll keep it moving fantasy football wise. So we do. Do you have anything else to say, Rob, before we sign off, sir?
Just a quick update. Houston is playing the Lakers, and they have a 13-point lead in Los Angeles, 51-38. Kobe Bryant is still taking every shot, not passing the basketball. Nothing has changed. But those of you all who are interested in that game, it's on TNT as we speak. Good night, people.
Good night, people. We appreciate that. Rob, good show, sir. And I'll catch you on the flip side for sure, sir.
All right. Take care.
Good night,
world.